I know he's mine. This friend is so dear. He lives with me. He's ever near. 10,000 charms around him shine. And best. I know he's. Let's sing at number 48 in our camp songbooks. Camp songbooks number 48. I know he's mine. Life and power. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Lord. Hallelujah. That's 473 in the hymn books. 473. I found a friend. Praise the Lord. Anybody who wants to stand with me, please feel free. I found a friend, oh, such a friend. He loved me ere I knew him. He drew me with the cords of love, and thus he bound me to him. And round my heart still closely twined those ties which lock him there. For I am his, and he is mine. That I have my own
heaven to guard me on my onward course and bring me safe to heaven. The eternal glories gleam afar to nerve my faint endeavor. So now to watch, to work, to war, and then to rest forever. The eternal glories gleam afar to nerve my faint endeavor. So now to watch, to work, to war, and then to rest forever. So kind and true and tender, so wise a counselor and guide, so mighty a defender. From him who loves me now so well, what power my soul can sever? Shall life or death, or him who loves me now so well, what power my soul can sever? Shall life or death or earth or hell know I am his forever? Oh, wonderful Jesus, we praise you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Wonderful Savior, mighty Savior. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, we thank you. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, we worship you, great God. Lord God Almighty, we worship you. We worship you, triune God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let us turn to number one in the scripture readings in the back of the book, and remain standing as we read God's word together. It's under the heading Assurance, and it's from Romans chapter 8, the end of the chapter here, the last 12 verses. A wonderful word of assurance from God to our hearts. Reading the word of the Lord together. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Please be seated. Let us take our camp song books and sing together, "My Hope is in the Lord, who gave himself for me." 63. My hope is in the Lord, who gave himself for me. Breakfast this morning, I mentioned a hymn. It's a poem that I just came across this summer. Someone was saying, "Oh, you sing those songs without looking." Well, that's because I heard them my whole life. But this one I just came across. I'm going to have to read it. I was thinking of reading it in connection with the communion service last night, and then it seemed the Lord was directing us to speak on Hebrews 13:8 and the other things. That the meeting was so full, I thank God for the way he has come to us and spoken to us in so many different ways through different ones, and God has spoken to us in His Son, Jesus. We've heard Him preaching to us through the testimonies, through the sermons, and through the songs. As it says, I will declare your name to my brothers. But anyway, this song is about substitution. And our hope is based on Jesus' blood and righteousness, or as we just sang, for me He died, for me He lives. And this song comes from England, a British writer. And, soon I'll be able to recite it, but for today I have to read it. Another wonderful glimpse of Jesus. He stood before the court on trial instead of us. He met its power to hurt, condemned to face the cross, our King, accused of treachery, our God, abused for blasphemy. These are the crimes that tell the tale of human guilt, our sins, our death, our hell. On these the case is built. To this world's powers their Lord stays dumb. The guilt is ours. No answers come. The sentence must be passed. The unknown prisoner killed. The price is paid at last. The law of God fulfilled. He takes our blame. And from that day, the accuser's claim is wiped away. Shall we be judged and tried? In Christ our trial is done. We live, for He has died. Our condemnation gone. In Christ are we, both dead and raised, alive and free. His name be praised. Amen. Forevermore. For me He died. For me He lives. And everlasting life and light He freely gives. Hallelujah. 'Tis mine but to believe. His grace has planned it all. 'Tis mine but to believe and recognize His work of love and Christ receive. Wonderful Savior, wonderful Lord, the best friend we've ever known. Hallelujah. So at the table, and some of you weren't there at the 8:30 breakfast, I said that we would take time for brief expressions of thanks to God or whatever He has laid upon your heart, if there are those who would like to share something this morning. See, we've heard Chinese, and I thought, you know, there's a song that we could sing in German. Antje, Roswitha, Sieger, Elsie, Danny, Susan, you know. Darum preis ich meinen Heiland, der in Liebe mein gedacht, als ich ganz verzweifelt lag in Sündenweg. Denn zog mich aus der Grube, hat mich froh und frei gemacht. Und nun wohne ich auf der Halleluja. You got that? Hallelujah, right? So I didn't hear all the people I mentioned. You wanted to sing it by yourself? Oh, glory be to Jesus, let the hallelujahs roll. Help me ring the Savior's praises far and wide. For I've opened up toward heaven all the windows of my soul. And I'm living on the hallelujah side.
I want to thank the Lord. Get out of my car. chair.
It's been a great season. I'm thankful for all the help he's given. And my brother Bob here, who just shouldered the burden, give me time of relief and help me to recover when I'm weary. But also the very personal assistance of the Lord that was very, very evident this year. I know the Lord has helped me and shown me things, how to do things and what to, but this year, it's been amazing how many times when I'd be in the middle of a repair, a thought would come into my mind, and it was the easy way out, so to speak. The real resolve, the quick fix, that was the right fix. Not that I was cutting corners or anything, but bang, that's the problem. And it's just so inspiring to me to know that the Lord has been with me in this ministry of serving the Lord, and I'm so grateful. I love that verse. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that would I seek, will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple.
Thank you.
So happy to hear that testimony. And all of the testimonies, but I was thinking that I noticed this was noticeable to me this year, and I know it's the Lord, who has done this for Brother Tom, but when I'll say at home in church, I'm back and forth, you know, so I'm in the meetings a lot in Ridgewood too, so I'll say in church, let's pray for camp. Let's pray for all those campers. God will bless them, staff and guests. And different ones will pray for camp, but I don't think this time it was, I don't think there's ever been a time like this summer where every time you and Mary were mentioned by name, and without my encouragement to do that, the people are praying for you. And it's a blessing that God is answering those prayers. Thank you, Lord.
I wasn't knowing what I should say in my testimony until Seeger said his testimony.
I just wanted to share a few things. I am thankful for Pilgrim Camp, my first introduction to this place. It was in 1971. At that time, I was on staff at Zion Bible Institute, and I came here at the invitation of, some of you may know, Brother Nat Saginario. He invited me to come, and the purpose was to help out with the counseling staff that summer. And I had been a Christian probably for about 8 years. I was born again in 63, came here in 71, and Brother Gordon Gardner was sharing. We had a day off, so being here in the service that day, started talking about Sister Martha Wing Robinson, and talking about her. I don't remember exactly how he stated that day, but she was in backsliding tendencies. And as he was sharing, I was thinking, that's what I feel like. That's where I'm at in my experience. And I did not even recognize that until I was sitting here in the service that day. And speaking about accomplishing God's will, I was seeking to do that at that point. But again, to say that this following God is it's a marvelous thing that we do. And a lot of people, they think all kinds of things about following God, but sometimes you think that they think that that's the most miserable thing in the world you could do. But it's really quite an adventure. I think probably most of us here have probably read Pilgrim's Progress. I associate well with Christian and Pilgrim's Progress. And But anyway, to say that Brother Gordon spoke right into my heart that day. And that was a course correction that I needed. And to tell you the truth, I had another period of time where, again, in working at Zion, Zion has a reputation of pigeonholing people into jobs that most usually you don't want to do. And so I wound up being a cook there for 3 years. And in the course of that, I found that because of the nature of a cook's job, I don't know how Eric may feel about it on when you wind up cooking long term, but I got to the place where I wasn't even really caring if I made it to church. My Bible reading was slipping, my prayer was slipping, and it was because of this schedule and the grind, in a sense, of cooking. And that's the other period. The first period where I found myself in backsliding tendencies was that year here at camp, and identifying that. And then when I got into that spirit that I was just talking about, it's like the Holy Spirit said to me, you're in those backsliding tendencies. And it was a wonderful correction by the Holy Spirit again to help me to just rise up and to do what I knew what I was supposed to do. I'm a person that talks occasionally about the duty of being a Christian. And I've actually had some opposition from some different believers along the way, because they resist the idea or think that you'd never serve God out of duty. And there's a little sound that goes off my head when I hear something akin to that. Because you're not always walking in this tremendous zeal and love, and you know, this is a gushy kind of walk that we have. It's very serious, it's life-threatening, and a lot of times it means that you just know the direction, you keep your eyes on it, and you keep proceeding toward that no matter what's going on around you. And so again, I thank God that there is the realization that this is a life that we must pay tremendous attention to, keep focused, and keep on doing what you know is right. And that is duty. And I can say that there are periods of my life as a Christian where doing my duty has kept me. Because if I didn't keep doing what I knew was right, I would have charted way off somewhere. But I'm thankful for, again, the life of how God has led me thus far and enabled me to have a testimony, have so many things that I just thank the Lord for. I just want to say that sometimes in our churches, I am basically a church goer now. My ministry is with the Sober House, and so I'm actually an associate at the church that I attend. And I do have aspects of ministry there, but my ministry is with the Sober House. So I'm telling you my heart, but I would not attend the church that I go to, or I wouldn't have, if it were my choice. But because of the Sober House, I have an obligation to be there. And my wife and I are both in agreement in regard to what I just said. And so just started praying for the ministry of the church, and particularly the worship. And in our church, as up to a couple of months ago, the worship was driving me crazy. And I hate it when the instruments are drowning you out. You can't even hear your own voice. And it's not that I love my own voice, but I love to be able to sing and worship and hear people around me and to hear myself worshiping the Lord. And so we started praying, and a couple of months ago, it was just to my utter surprise that the worship team was changing. And what God has done in our church in regard to the worship is that there is a person that was so much more sensitive to the Spirit and just leading us in that direction. And I am just so thankful today about how God has changed that in our church. And again, it's become more of a worshipful place. Many of our churches today are places where people go, they streamline the service, actually, the person that wound up leaving, who's charged of worship, he actually said that in one of our staff meetings, is that we've got to cut this and do that. It was like all the things that are spiritual he didn't want to have happen. And so, again, it was important to realize that that needed to change. And there's just so much happening in worship these days, probably some of you, if not all of us. Prophetic worship. To me, prophetic worship sounds like something that should be pretty good. But it's one of the worst things that's happening in the church today. And there's somebody usually who's standing up and leading worship, and what they're doing is just trusting the Lord to give them a word, and maybe they'll get a hold of the word praise, and they'll just sing praise and praise, and they'll just sing that one word over and over. Or maybe they get a phrase, let's just praise the Lord, and over and over and over again. And to me, I find that that has the smell of death in it. And so I am thankful for Pilgrim Camp, for what the Lord has done in my life, and the opportunity to worship. Sister Nora was just talking about testimonies. Most of our churches, maybe I'm wrong here today, I don't know, but most of our churches have given up testimony time. I tell you what, I think testimonies are tremendous, and sad that most of our churches are losing the testimony time. It's a wonderful thing to hear what's happening in brothers and sisters' lives. And when teenagers on occasion would, they feel like to get up and share a testimony. It's just wonderful to hear the stories about what God is doing in people's lives. Actually, to me, that's one of the salvation things in my own experience in coming to Pilgrim Campus. I can remember just sitting here over the years and just hearing the testimonies of brothers and sisters that just touched something in my own life and gave me an encouragement. I have gotten encouragement so many times here at Labor Day prayer retreats that were just a little spark, just to keep on going, keep on doing, because of somebody else's testimony and the difficulties that they have gone through. Then one last thing that I want to share is that I was remiss last night because, again, in talking about how God is rewarded and turning things around, if you just listen to my testimony, say, oh, they got money to do changes in the house and things like that. But the most wonderful and most precious thing about the rewarding part of holding steady and not quitting is the realization that I was called there to bring a Bible emphasis in the house. And that is really what changed the atmosphere. That again, all the swearing the guys were doing in there, and guys had to kick out. We have zero tolerance supposedly in our house, and they were caught drinking. They were out, just so many things that were going on. But it's the Word of God. It's the Spirit of God has brought the change into our house. Everybody would tell you that this house is not the same. It's a whole different atmosphere. There are many sober houses, but our house is getting quite a reputation because of the peace and quiet. You can go into our house most nights at 11 o'clock, and the guys are, they may be talking or watching television, or most of us are night owls. But they still have to abide by the curfews. But there is such a nice spirit about the house. We're having tremendous Bible studies. A few weeks back, I started a study in Galatians. I started as a scripture reading, and now we're going chapter by chapter. This last week, we only got through a few verses, but the exposition of the Word of God has just been so tremendous with these guys. And we've had such marvelous discussions in the book of Galatians. I did something a few weeks ago, Living Clean in a Dirty World. This is an awful, filthy world that we live in, and it's only going to be the things of God that are going to help us to stay clean. And again, all these guys, we're on a wide spectrum from 1 to 10 on salvation, but it is wonderful what God is doing. I've got the guys that are going to church. It's just that's the reward. The building and things that are changing because we do have more money, that's a plus. But the real blessing is what God has done in people's lives. And so I thank God for the journey that's taken me thus far, and Pilgrim Camp and the leaders, the men and women of God. As Eric was talking, I was thinking back, I forget this dear sister's name, but talking about the women, I remember the women who have played a key role. And I guess I'm waxing long, but to say that when I read Radiant Glory, You know, one of the most precious things about that book was understanding that there were a group of leaders that knew how to flow in the Spirit together. It wasn't one person who, again, was the star of the show, the leading preacher or whatever, but they worked in conjunction with each other. And we need that so badly. We need leaders who feel like they are not guarding their own reputations and trying to guard their turf, but people, men, women of God, who can flow together and say, let's get the job done. Let's do it together. And we are sadly lacking in that kind of leadership in the body of Christ today. But as we pray, who knows what God may yet do before he comes. But again, I thank God for another pilgrim camp. I thank God for being able to share it with all of you. Some I have gotten to know pretty well, still have to ask your names every year. But I thank God for you, and it's been a tremendous blessing to be here again this year. I thank God for Brother Eddie. Again, back in the 70s, he was a counselor like I was, and I have a few memories of those times. And I thank God for his leadership. He took me as a green counselor in those years in the 70s, and I saw how he marvelously moved among the camp and the campers, and they just seemed to listen to Eddie no matter what he did, you know, whatever he said. So it's good to see that. And people are still doing that, so I thank God for his rich ministry that he's had over the years as well.
I think I lost some of that.
Church can do that.
And that's a real miracle. And when I first came to this country, I was just, as you say, just got saved before. And I didn't understand the thing about praise or rush or anything. But when I came to Richfield Church, and after that, I was brought into the meetings like a madman. I didn't know anything, but it was the Spirit of the Lord working in that church. And it drew me, and praise, in no time I praised the Lord, and worshiped too, and it changed my life. It started with it. And then, and a year later, I was invited here to come to camp. And I was young in those days, and things happened in my life. But it was the Word and the encouragement to seek the Lord. And we did seek the Lord. There was quite a group that stayed all summer for some years. And we stayed every evening afterwards. We wanted to find the Lord as we were taught. And it's good to obey. And one day, Brother Gordon Garnett, who was at that time also a youth leader, and he mentioned and he said, why don't you take the Word of God, especially this whole summer, and underline everything about the Holy Spirit? And I never had any idea what the Holy Spirit really was like and what he was supposed to do. And so on. And I said, I want to obey. I was a waitress then. I usually was the first time to teach. I loved to swim and do all sports. And but that summer I said, I first go and seek the Lord. So I underlined, and prayed about it. And when Labor Day weekend came, I was sitting there where Sister Stephen sitting, we had those chairs over there, the students' chairs. So I was sitting in one of them, as we're supposed to, in those days. And we were just praising the Lord, and it was an ordinary meeting. People were coming in for the weekend, it was Friday night. And then at the end of the meeting, we went on needs to pray. And suddenly the Lord spoke to me. I never had this before. I had no idea it was possible. And he spoke on the money. He did everything to me. I said, Lord, what do you want? I didn't know. And as I was very new to everything, and I said, Lord, yes, my life, I want to do it. That moment, it struck me from heaven. Till 2 o'clock next morning,
the Lord has filled me with a mighty baptism. And I never had prayed, oh, Holy Spirit, fill me, never, ever. I just always loved Jesus. But they belong together. You cannot separate them. And so I realized Jesus was coming mightily into my life and changed me completely. From that time on, I only wanted to live for Jesus. And those were very wonderful years with the Lord. But we have to learn lessons, and I have to learn lessons the hard way many times. But I'm thankful that I could come this time too. And what I always appreciated was the Word of God. Always hearing the Word of God. And sometimes I think when I have like a retreat with the Chinese or they on the weekend, but hear so much. And I say afterwards, what did I really hear? There were so many things. But one thing this time, I was thinking about it, and that is walking with the Lord. And I never thought of the combination of inner, you know, that was taken to heaven, and then Elijah on the other hand. And it really doesn't make any difference what the Lord asks us to do, as long as we obey and do His will. And to look for Him all the time. To know step by step what He wants us to do. And so I'm very, very thankful for this meeting here tonight. But also I want to be very thankful, and I'm very thankful for children's ministry here tonight. And I have been in the cottage, I have been in the village, and I ended up being in the cottage again with the younger children, 6 to 8. And this year was very blessed. How the Lord brought them out of these children. And the last year, fourth grade, my very few children in the cottage this year. And I thought, Lord, what we have, it must be, it's always you. So I accepted whatever came. And the Lord changed one little boy completely around. We moved from our church, Savannah. He was a father. He could be very annoying at times. I had him Friday night. I found out some other things from his older father that happened. And so we as counsel, we just prayed for that boy. I had cried him all the time. And well, you know, just help him along. And then after we had a session, it was something that happened. I just sat there, he sat across from me, and we talked. And he could argue. He's a smart kid, 6 years old. He could, well, I don't know if that was. But after maybe an hour or so, he just went on. So I just said, again, give my remarks and so on. And then he thought he was very smart, and he is. Before I was told him many times he's a smart kid. And so I said to him, because something came up, I said to him, what do you think? Is it smart to disobey? I think that's wrong. He said to me, you said I'm wrong. No, I said, I didn't say that. And I repeated it. Quiet. After a while, he said, I think I'm just a little smart. And then, quiet again, because I'm quiet. Suddenly he said, I want to obey. From that moment on, that boy, dining room, sat, hugging heart. Last year, I had to once in a while. Of course, he didn't just change overnight to the best boy. But what a change. Only the Lord can change things. By His Holy Spirit. And we had it. The second week was, what a change. Got along with the other boys much better. And so I just want to thank the Lord. It was just a little example of what happened. But another thing that happened that made me very joyful, and this little group, at the end I had really asked, what did you, what was the nicest or what's the best, what do you And so this afternoon I asked, what was the best, the most important thing you learned this time? Well, by the way, yes, I mean, no, it was a book, it was a book. And he said that Jesus died for my sins and he wants to forgive my sins. Second one, that Jesus, if we confess our sins as first time on earth, and I come with a sorry heart and ask forgiveness, Jesus forgives my sins and cleanses my heart. So I thought, well, that's it. The third one, he said, the best I learned was friendship is Jesus. And so I couldn't get any better. If they learn that in truth and keep it in their hearts, we have to pray for them. For all the children left. Because they have heard the word. And Jesus wants to continue to work and give great victories in their lives. And so that's my job, you know. I've been doing this since he left, and will continue. But he wanted to see fruit, victories, and young kids before they get into trouble. Because I'm very thankful for our ministry, which is young kids. And I'm going back to the city, and they might not be working with the family this event. But I'm very thankful how the Lord is leading, and I want to learn more. Live in His presence and walk with Him daily.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for all you've done. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for victories won. Oh, thank you, Lord, for your love and tender care. For your word and answered prayer. Thank you, Jesus, for all you've done. Thank you, Lord. Let's stand and sing that, for your love and tender care, for your word and answered prayer. For your love and tender care, for your word and answered prayer. Thank you, Jesus, for all you've done. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Let's be seated. Needed to move a little. See, that's another blessing in getting up to testify. Oh, you never, some people, you never had a stand. Well, you could have.